So I would ask everyone to begin the relaxation process. Just being aware of your body on the cushion or the chair. Being able to feel the cushion, the chair. Slowly relaxing parts of your body. Being aware of your breathing, feeling your breath. Not stopping your breath, but just aware of your breath in this moment as we get to a place of relaxation. Breathing in through the nose. Breathing out through the mouth. Being aware of the rise and fall of your chest as you breathe in and out. And just slowly come to a place in this moment, in this temple, where you're quiet. Your body is relaxing. It's finding ease in this space. Now, as we open up our minds in this state of relaxation, I'm going to guide you through the metta meditation as Thich Nhat Hanh taught. It's called the 9 prayers. The metta meditation is a loving kindness meditation. So as you say each of these, you breathe in your breath. Your breath keeps us grounded. It reminds us that we're alive. So the 9 prayers, we begin with ourselves. May I be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May I be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May I be free from injury. May I live in safety. May I be free from injury. And may I live in safety. May I be free from disturbance, fear, and anxiety. May I be free from disturbance, fear, and anxiety. May I learn to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and of love. May I learn to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and of love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in myself. May I learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in myself. May I know how to nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. May I know how to nourish the seeds of joy in myself every day. May I be able to live fresh, solid, and free. May I be able to live fresh, solid, and free. May I be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. May I be free from attachment and aversion. But not be indifferent. Now we're going to take our practice and focus on people that are close to you. Children, husband, wife, grandparents, aunts, uncles, people that are very close to you. And we're going to say the prayer to them. May he or she be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May he or she be free from injury. May they live in safety. May he or she be free from disturbance, fear, and anxiety. May they learn to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and of love. May they be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in themselves. May he or she learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in themselves. May they know how to nourish the seeds of joy in themselves every day. May they be able to live fresh, solid, and free. And may they be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. Now I want you to think of that person that maybe has caused you suffering as your difficult person. And send them these prayers. May my difficult person be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May this person be free from injury. May they live in safety. May my difficult person be free from disturbance, fear, and anxiety. May the person that's caused me suffering learn to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and of love. May the person that's caused me suffering learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in themselves. May my difficult person know how to nourish the seeds of joy in themselves every day. May my difficult person be able to live fresh, solid, and free. And may the difficult person be free from attachment and aversion, but not be indifferent. Now we open our metta to the world, people in this town, in this country, and other countries in the world. Try to visualize people, all kinds of people, as we send them these prayers, this metta. May people in the world be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May they be free from injury, and may they live in safety. May they be free from disturbance, fear, and anxiety. May they be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in themselves. May they learn to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and of love. May they learn to identify and see the sources of anger, craving, and delusion in themselves. May they know how to nourish the seeds of joy in themselves every day. May they be able to live fresh, solid, and free. And may all the people in the world be free from attachment and aversion and not be indifferent. Now we turn back to our breath. Many times metta meditation, especially the nine prayers, can cause different thoughts, emotions to rise in our body and our mind. So we take this time to focus on our breath, our life source, grounding us to the earth in gratitude. So begin to feel your breath, listening to it, being aware of its rise and fall. Again, you don't have to stop breathing. You don't have to slow your breathing. You're just aware of it. And any distractions around you, whether they're external or even internal, just go back to your breath. The coolness of it going in through your nostrils, the air, and the warm air coming out of your mouth. Being aware of the breath beginning to move through you deeply, washing your organs as it flows through and out. Breathing in cool light, and breathing out any of your burdens, heaviness, distractions. If at any time you need to adjust your body, feel free to do that. Remember, you want to be in a place of comfort and relaxation and ease as you sit and meditate. as you sit here, meditation is an active process. Observing all the sensations you may be having now, and your thoughts and your feelings. And also remember that you can carry your cushion with you into the world wherever you may go. So anytime you need to be grounded, have calm, have ease, recall this moment at this time. So may all of you find comfort and quiet in this meditation. And I hope that the 9 prayers were helpful, the metta meditation was helpful. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I'm not a chanter, so we're not going to chant. I'm sorry to break your hearts about that. But we are going to do my wish. So if you know my wish by heart, you can take the chanting book and open up to page 11, and we can read my wish together. May I become at all times, both now and forever, a protector for those without protection, a guide for those who have lost their way, a ship for those with an ocean to cross, a sanctuary for those in danger, a lamp for those without light, a place of refuge for those who lack shelter, and a servant to all in need. By means of this meritorious deed, may I never join with the unwise, only the wise, until the time I attain nirvana. All right. Well, again, I'm very honored to be here tonight. I've done other Dhamma talks in the past. First of all, let me ask, what did you all think of the Thich Nhat Hanh's metta meditation, the 9? He calls it the 9 prayers. You can look it up. Was that okay? Yeah, okay. You can disagree too with me. That's okay. I did not know that and that one. So I found it particularly helpful for me. We had done a lay discussion here last Sunday on, and I think Wimala talked about the 4 Brahma Viharas. And one of the things, and I talked about loving kindness, and one of the things for me when I've done the metta meditation, may I be well, happy, and peaceful, and then directing to other people, I do find that I have changed the words so they have meaning for me. And I particularly like the words that he chose, and they're very specific. And I would invite you, I think we can all put in our own words when we do that meditation. And I've just found loving-kindness meditation can be quite helpful, especially when you're having a particularly bad day or you're really angry at someone and you don't know what to do with that anger, is you send that meditation, that loving-kindness, to someone else. And that's why, we include think of somebody who caused you suffering and you're a difficult person. While that's really really difficult to do that. And I know Wimala does a good job of encouraging us to think of our difficult people and wish them loving kindness. You find, or at least I have found, that the more I do that with my difficult people, it eases a lot of the agitation I have inside, right? and the anxiety that I have inside. So I hope that helped everyone. But for tonight, I'm going to talk about gratitude. And obviously, we have a big holiday for some people coming up this Thursday. It's Thanksgiving. So I'm not going to talk about Thanksgiving. But instead, I am going to talk about gratitude because I feel that's something that I have to be aware of almost daily. Because there's a lot, at least for me, that gets in the way. And I was just talking to Rebecca. I've dealt in the last year and then last night with a lot of sudden deaths of people I know. And so going back to gratitude, it doesn't mean that I'm grateful, but I'm looking at what are the things that I have, right, that give me pause to say, okay, I have this, I lost that, or I don't have that. Or I don't have that person, but then I have this or that or things inside of me. So I'll explain it more as I move along here. So gratitude can soften a heart that has become too guarded, and it builds the capacity for forgiveness, which creates the clarity of mind that is ideal for spiritual development. Gratitude is not denial of life's difficulties. It is the antidote for feelings of scarcity and loss. So any of us, and I know I have, but if you think about when you've experienced losses, grief, there's all kinds of losses we can experience in our lives, is it's very hard maybe in that moment to think of gratitude. But in Buddhist practice, at least what I'm going to talk about tonight, it's in those moments of scarcity and loss and darkness when we really need to think about gratitude. The Pali word for gratitude is katanuta, and it translates to, quote, having a sense of what was done. Practicing gratitude can help us to cultivate mindfulness, compassion, an awareness of the interconnectedness of all beings, and a peaceful, open-hearted attitude toward life. So, Buddhism and gratitude are connected through a variety of ways. So I'm going to give you a list of those ways. And then at the end, I'm going to give you some ideas of how to develop gratitude, maybe in your daily life. But here are some ways that Buddhism and gratitude are connected. So number one is an appreciation for life. Buddhism emphasizes the preciousness, both the rarity and opportunity, of being born as a human being because it offers the potential for spiritual growth and enlightenment. Buddhists try to incorporate gratitude into daily life, expressing thanks for, among other things, food, shelter, and the opportunity to cultivate wisdom and compassion. So how many times, you know, reflecting on yourself, how many times do you just say, I'm just so grateful for this food on my table? You know, I'm grateful for this home I have. I have heat. I'm so grateful for the heat in my home right now. Running water. I mean, I've worked with, in my career, I've worked with homeless people who had none of that. And you take for granted those things, right? Water, a toilet. You take them for granted. So the Buddhist connection to gratitude is that it reminds us to appreciate life and everything that encompasses. Appreciation for others. The contemporary Buddhist teacher, Thanissaro Bhikkhu, I think I'm saying that right, notes that the Buddha once said that there are two kinds of people who are hard to find in the world. The one who is first to do a kindness, that's the first kind of person, and then the other is the one who is grateful and thankful for a kindness done. This is the Buddha telling us that we each should seek to be both kinds. So the person that who is first to do kindness, as well as the person who's grateful and thankful for the kindness that's done by other people. The third connection is mindfulness. Buddhism places a strong emphasis on being fully present in the moment with awareness and non-judgment. Practicing mindfulness helps us become more attuned to the beauty and richness of each moment, fostering a sense of gratitude for the present moment and, by extension, for life itself. Fourth is impermanence. Contemplating impermanence, one of Buddhism's three marks of existence, can lead to a sense of gratitude for even the opportunities and joys that arise, and even for life's challenges. So this is a hard one, and this relates to what I was talking about, loss or grief. Loss of relationships, loss of job, loss of home, loss of people in our lives, family members, things like that. That's all impermanence. And it's one of the hardest things I know, at least for me, to, and I've had to really work on all the time, is accepting impermanence. But gratitude turns, at least for me, it turns things to, I'm grateful that that person passed through my life, that they've been in my life. I'm a cancer survivor, and so gratitude around cancer, it taught me how to take care of myself in ways that I had neglected before. So looking at when hardships, when suffering, when these are impermanence, it hits us in the face, you know, it comes right there, is how can I look at, okay, but what is this giving me? I guess it's another way to put it. The next connection with Buddhism is generosity. Generosity is a core Buddhist practice, and the first of the six perfections are the paramitas. It involves giving without expectation of return. Engaging in giving cultivates a sense of gratitude for our ability to help and support others, and for what it means when someone does the same for us. So welcoming, being grateful for the generosity of other people. Someone holds, you know, simple things, right? Someone holds a door, someone lets you go by and, you know, traffic. These little things sometimes we take for granted. I think sometimes we're so frantic to get places or be or in our own minds that we forget to show gratitude for people doing small acts of kindness. And likewise, we can do the same. We can do small acts of kindness and generosity. And then finally is metta, or loving kindness. Metta, or loving kindness, meditation is a practice of sending thoughts of gratitude and goodwill to oneself and others. When we experience those profound emotions, we feel deep gratitude for all that this life gives us. So again, thinking about even the meditation that I did with you all tonight, is that you are actually sending gratitude to all of those people, even the people that have hurt you or have made you angry. You're sending gratitude. The difficult people in my life have taught me a lot, and I am very grateful for them. Does it mean that I am excusing everything they have done? No. But I'm very grateful that they have taught me. And they've also shown me a part of myself that maybe I needed to be aware of or mindful about. So just thinking about how loving kindness or sending out gratitude, what an impact that can have on you and then other people around you. What are some ways, I guess, bringing it to more us here, or some ideas and ways to practice or create more gratitude in your life? And some of these are pretty obvious and very, very simple ways. There has actually been research done on the effects of people writing down, like in gratitude journals, or consciously saying they're grateful, but they actually did research on that, and they found that the more people were able to say they're grateful or write it down several times a day, that in fact it changed people in terms of lowering depression and lowering anxiety. Because gratitude is a very powerful medicine for depression and anxiety in our lives. And so it's been shown to actually help. And if any of you, I don't know if anyone keeps journals or you write, it's a good thing to do. Some days, I know I try, I forget, but sometimes just writing down randomly, I'm really grateful that this happened today. I'm grateful that that person said that to me, things like that. So that's one way, if you're not sure about it, it's just to write things down that you're grateful for. Another thing is to do kind of a contrast. So thinking about, so say something, you're in a bad situation. Think about when there's been the opposite. So then there's been positive things that have happened to you or positive things that have gone on. So thinking about the contrast. Thinking about, well, how it was before, or if you have lost something, say a job, well, you did a good job, you did well at that job. So what they're suggesting, as far as the writers of this list, is looking at contrast, even though things may not be going well right now, or something bad has happened, to think about, look around you and think about, okay, well, the other, what are the positives, I guess, or the good things? Also asking yourself three questions. So in terms of learning about gratitude, what have I received from this situation or this person? So think about what you've received. What have I given to this person? And then what troubles and difficulties have I caused? So they suggest that this is also a way to look at gratitude from, trying to reframe your thinking. So that it's not all bad, but that there's other ways to see something. And also seeing your role in the suffering and the difficulties of the relationship or what has happened. Obviously, to share gratitude with others, maybe sharing with other people what you're grateful for. Also, thinking about gratitude for your physical abilities, the things that you can do physically. Certainly, as I've gotten older, I realize there are things that just I can't do like I used to, but I'm grateful that I'm breathing, I'm walking, I can run, I can do things like that. So maybe think about if you're feeling particularly negative, is some of the things that you can do physically. They also suggest this, what they call a gratitude vow, which is that you literally, you can say, it's probably be like an intention that you could do this daily. You state an intention that you will give thanks or express gratitude to other people. So that's not a bad idea, and that's kind of like the loving kindness, right? So it's intention that you, every day, you're gonna have this vow or this promise to yourself that I'm really gonna try hard to express gratitude to people, and they may be people I don't even know. They may be strangers. Also, to think about the good things that people have done on your behalf. So people, that maybe they've done things that have helped to help you. Maybe you weren't aware of it, but just things that people do on your behalf. Also, it may help, and I know there's a meditation practice where you smile. So sometimes it helps just to go through the motions if you're not really feeling really great and you're not feeling really grateful, is to maybe try it, you know, fake it till you make it kind of idea. And saying thank you, again, to maybe people you don't know. But that's one thing they suggest, that I guess the point of this is helping us get into a mindset of gratitude. And then obviously thinking outside the box. So how can we look for gratitude outside of our world, things that we can be grateful for and what people are doing? Again, I think that the whole idea of gratitude, it can be very tricky because depending on what's going on in each of our lives. And certainly recently I've been engaged in a lot of conversations And then when we did the workshop on the Brahma Viharas about just the state of the world and what is there to be grateful about or for, I think this is even more of a reason, more of a time for us to understand what gratitude is and what loving kindness is and compassion, those types of things. But as always in Buddhist practice, it always starts with us, right? So starting with giving ourselves the gift of gratitude, and then spreading that out to other people. So that's all I have to say about gratitude. Does anyone have any reactions to the topic or the idea of gratitude or what your understanding of gratitude is? I'm very open and interested in hearing from the rest of you what that's like, or even some of the ideas that I brought up about gratitude and its relationship to Buddhist practice. Any comments or ideas? Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they were dumb things. Like,
yeah.
Have a great day. Like, I got to eat my favorite food for dinner. You know, it doesn't have to really be something big, mm-hmm. but the idea that you have somebody that you share it with mm-hmm. keeps you honest, keeps you on the team.
So the sharing, yeah, that's really true.
And that, for me, added an extra powerful moment to it, too, because yeah.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
And that has been, like, amazing. I've gotten to learn all these things about her perspective that I didn't.
Yeah. No, I think that's really true to share it, because you all, it just, you know, relationship with another and sharing, it opens up your mind to possibilities that you had, like you're saying, you hadn't thought about. And also that idea, even if you're doing it alone, is to end your day with what you're grateful for. I think is also very useful as a type of reflection.
It literally changes your brain. Like,
it well,
very hard at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then it just became like, I just live in gratitude all the time now.
Yeah, it really it does. And there's research around that as well. You know, they research everything, right? But there is truly research. It does rewire the brain. It affects even our cardiovascular system and so forth. So it has a huge impact. Because I think, like, I know my father passed away 2 years ago, and he was dying of dementia, and I've talked about that experience as well. But I remember sitting there with him and listening to him breathe, or just watching him sleep and thinking how grateful I felt in that moment. It may not have looked, you know, to anyone walking by, oh, Aaron, how can you find gratitude in this moment? But I kept thinking, I am so grateful. And I remember thanking my dad that I could share and witness this time with him, you know. We don't think about that. But I found that for me, and I guess maybe what Rebecca's saying too, is that it helped me, I guess, deal with the grief and pain I felt. It eased that. So I'm not saying this is supposed to make us feel all happy. That's not the point here. It's to just soften, right? To ease that conflict or that tension or whatever you feel. Any other examples of your own experience with gratitude or living in gratitude, or maybe it's really difficult? Yeah.
I just tend to
Yeah, that's.
And it can be a little. It could be like, there's grape nuts in the book.
So true. I know, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It does. It makes you pause. You know, that's why, like, they were talking about mindfulness, right? So it pauses you and it makes you get back to, because it's also really a great antidote for if you have racing thoughts or you're anxious, you're thinking about other things or, like, how crappy this day is or whatever. It brings you back to the present. You're talking about, you know, the yogurt. Okay, that's right here, right now. So that's another thing to think about, the benefits of the gratitude. Like you're saying, and stopping. Yeah. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah.
I've been keeping a gratitude journal for like 4 or 5 years now. So I sometimes end up writing every day, but I'm able to recall like at least like 3 or 5 things.
Yeah.
I say, you know, I'm grateful for having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. Sometimes it could be in a game as like a positive something face.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah, that's a really good idea. Anyone else? Yeah.
On my best days, I haven't been worried about this lately, but I have a practice where in the evening I'll, because I'm a visual person, I'll doodle or like watercolor, a quick
thing. Yeah, yeah.
I have that visual that I get to do and kind of zen out of, and I'm not like in my own thoughts, racing thoughts or scrolling on my phone before bed. And then the other fun benefit is I can look back on other times and I see the things that I've experienced before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, what a wonderful idea. See, look at there. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't think our culture really teaches us to, I mean, even happy, good, nice people, like, I don't think American culture really has that reflecting greatly on things to be grateful for. Right? We have this hustle culture, and we're always, what's next? What's my ambition? What, you know, we're always doing, going, getting better. But we're not always great at, like, stopping and reflecting on what we have.
Yeah, and I don't know if we even, that's an interesting point. I don't even know, now I'm thinking in American culture. I mean, I don't want to generalize, but I don't know if we even have rituals around gratitude like other cultures have. Like, I mean, even, you know, even the when we bow, right? Even bowing, right? That's an act of gratitude. And so, I don't know what we do. You have to intentionally
do it in order to live that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it I think, well, I really appreciate all of the examples, because as we can see, it's not as complicated as it may feel, you know? I think it's just really quite easy. Anything else before we?
Can I have her on this one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So during the day, if I come across like a thing that made me smile or a spark, then I have a notes app and I write down what that was so that I remember it and I can think.
Oh, that's a good idea too. Remember that. Yeah. Yeah, I just sometimes, and that's okay, sometimes we have to do that, right? You know, we're not above it. I mean, I have a horrible memory, so you write things down, you know. Or you can put in your, you know, with the phone, we can use technology. And I also would just invite everyone to really, and Thich Nhat Hanh spoke a lot about this, is that idea of also welcoming or showing gratitude, speaking gratitude for the uncomfortable things. I'm so grateful this anger is here. hello, I think, doesn't he do like, hello, anger, you know, that type of thing, right? So I'm grateful for this anxiety. I don't like it. But you know what I'm saying? So learning that balance, right? And it doesn't have to be grateful for all the happy, good things. It can be for also those uncomfortable things that come up with us, inside of us. So, yeah. If that's anything else, again, I'm so thank you all for listening to me, and I'm very grateful to be here with all of you and your ideas.